Welcome to the weekly Sermons and Studies podcast at First Baptist. Today's speaker is our senior pastor, Dr. Jeff Reynolds.
Would you pray with me? Father, we love you, and we thank you for the precious blood of Jesus spilled so that we might be cleansed. And we thank you that the blood of Jesus is sufficient to cover over all of our sin. And so, Lord, when we stand before you, we have only one plea, that you gave your only begotten Son for us, that the blood he shed on Calvary's Hill was enough to cover over not some or part, but all of our sin. And it is by your grace, through Jesus Christ our Lord, that we come to you today. And so, Lord, we pray in your presence that you would speak to us through your word, that our minds would be renewed and that we would be transformed to become more like Jesus, so that when we leave this experience in just a few moments, we would leave different, more like Jesus. For it's in his precious and holy name that we pray. Amen. Well, this is our last message in the Decided series, and we've been in the Decided series for a decidedly long time. And we have been very grateful to hear what God has done in the lives of people throughout the course of Jesus's ministry on earth. And then following Jesus's ascension into heaven, we've been able to watch people trust and follow Jesus. And one of the things I've learned, maybe you've learned it too, is that these are real human beings. These aren't made up book characters. These aren't legends. These are real stories of real people interacting with a real Savior and connecting with a real God. One of the things that we will be glad to see as we go to the places where the Apostle Paul and so many of his companions traveled over the course of the next couple of weeks is we're going to see these are real places. They're still there. And those places where God moved so mightily 2,000 years ago, he's still moving today. Those of us who went to the Holy Land last year got to see that and experience that. And quite frankly, spent the overnight period praying even more earnestly for the peace of Jerusalem and what's going on over there right now. And I would invite you to join us in that prayer. See, the thing about faith is that it's real. It's not some ethereal reality that exists only in the minds of theologians. But no, it's where the rubber meets the road of real life. And today, in our final sermon in the series of Decided to Follow Jesus, No Turning Back, No Turning Back, we're going to look at the back end of the Apostle Paul's life. Now, this is not the first time we've looked at Paul's life. We looked earlier at the fact that this young man, who was a rising star among the Pharisees, a rising star among the Jewish leaders, one whose voice was beginning to be listened to, and who was feared even, frankly, by men and women alike because of his defense of the faith. This one who had the pedigree that would propel him to greatness within the religious tradition that he knew, walked away from all of it. Why would you do that? Why would you go from eminence to obscurity? Why would you go from potential greatness to having to flee for your life? Well, there's only one reason: Jesus. Saul of Tarsus had an amazing encounter with Jesus of Nazareth, the resurrected and ascended Son of God, who, as Saul was on his way to Damascus to persecute Christians, appeared to him and said to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Teaching us that anyone who persecutes God's people is persecuting God himself. Anyone who persecutes Jesus' people is persecuting Jesus himself. "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" he replied. And the brightness of Jesus' appearance was such that it rendered Saul blind. And he went on to Damascus. There was a man named Ananias who was sent to him. And he was sent to him to lay his hands on him, to pray over him, and to be used of God in healing his blindness. And Ananias was scared of him. Everybody was scared of Saul. He was a religious terrorist. But God had done a great work in his life, and Saul had decided to follow Jesus. As a result, his life was transformed, and so we know him as the Apostle Paul, because he who went from very Jewish places went into very Gentile places, and Paul is the Roman form, the more Gentile form of the name Saul. We know him as the Apostle Paul, who wrote much of the New Testament. We know him as the one who traveled throughout the Mediterranean region and carried the gospel literally to the ends of the earth that they knew. And so many people came to faith through his faithfulness and through God's work in him. So what I wanted us to do today in our last sermon in the series called Decided is to go about 3 decades out from when this young Saul of Tarsus had his encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. That happened around 33 or 34 AD. I want us to go to sometime between 64 and 67 AD. Saul's no longer on the road to Damascus. He's no longer in Jerusalem. No, now he's in Rome. This is his second Roman imprisonment, and he is awaiting execution, fully expecting that his life on earth will soon come to an end. And for 3 decades, his life has gone a different direction than he thought it would. How many of you can say that once you gave your life to Jesus, your life went in a different direction than what you thought it would? How many of you can say that the Lord has led you to places you never expected to be led? Led you to do things you never expected to do. Led you to suffer things you never expected to suffer. Led you to encounter his grace in ways you never thought you would. Well, that's exactly what happened to Saul of Tarsus, whom we know as the Apostle Paul. So today we're going to look at the last chapter he wrote, 2 Timothy chapter 4. If you're in the Red Pew Bible here in the room, that begins on page 996. But we will see from the back end of Paul's life today that the Apostle Paul decided to follow Jesus, and his life was transformed. The Apostle Paul decided to follow Jesus, and his life was transformed. Look with me at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Paul writes these words under Roman imprisonment, expecting Roman execution, as he is carried along by the Holy Spirit to Timothy, whom he considers his son in the faith. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. But having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded. Endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Now, there's a lot of directions we could go with these 5 verses, and to some degree, TJ already touched on this, that there are even Christian denominations, both in Staten Island and in the boroughs of New York City, and in Bowling Green, Kentucky, that frankly are led by false teachers who take the word of God and cast it aside. That was for then. We've got our own interpretation of what is for now, and God is not nearly as archaic as the scriptures would present him to be. Well, God's word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. So we absolutely affirm the truthfulness of the word of God and the truthfulness of Almighty God and his right to direct our paths as our creator, our sustainer, and our redeemer. So we could talk about how people have gathered for themselves teachers who will tell them what they want to hear, but that's a different sermon for a different day. What I want us to focus on is the fact that Paul is saying to Timothy, God has called you to a ministry, do that. That's your job. Fulfill your ministry. So the first point that I want to share with us today from these 5 verses is this. The Apostle Paul followed Jesus to a new ministry. The Apostle Paul followed Jesus to a new ministry. He himself was directed by Jesus to go in a new ministerial direction. Now, Paul had anticipated that he would be in ministry, but he thought that ministry would look like the party of the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin and the Jewish leadership, and that he would rule from Jerusalem, interpreting the law for people so that they could live and understand within the context of the Torah and the Mishnah how they might live. But that's not the direction that God had for him. When Ananias went to him, the Lord said to Ananias, go to Saul of whom Ananias was afraid, for he, Saul, who would become Paul, is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. Now notice the two elements of that call. He's going to carry my name, God says, to the people, to the Jewish people, to the Gentile people, to the kings. He's going to carry my name before royalty. And then the second half, and I'll show him how much he must suffer for my name. Well, how much did Paul suffer for the name of Jesus? A lot. He wrote in Galatians. Well, let me share this with you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 through 29, he said, five times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from the other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to fall and I am not indignant? So this is Paul a couple decades later describing what he's experienced in the 20 years since his calling. Was God prophetic in what he said to Ananias? Well, yeah. Paul took the name of Jesus before kings and before Jews and before Gentiles, and he suffered for doing so all along the way. But God had called him to a new ministry. He would write to the Romans, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." So Paul was taking the gospel, not a message that you must follow the 613 commandments to make yourself presentable to God, but a message that said you were altogether unpresentable to God no matter what you did. So God came to you by sending his only begotten Son, Jesus. And through Jesus Christ, God has made the way to the Father for all who would come to Jesus by faith, whether Jew or Gentile, whether slave or free, whether male or female, whether barbarian or Scythian, he has made the way for all to come to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. This was Paul's new ministry, and he did it faithfully, and he did it so faithfully that he imparted that to others. He had several companions that he raised up. Timothy was one of them. Timothy is probably the most famous of them, but he walked with young men like Aristarchus and Secundus, Gaius, Titus, Sopater, Epaphras, Tychicus, Trophimus, Philemon, Onesimus, Silas, and Barnabas, and others. And what did he do? He showed them what it meant to trust and follow Jesus. And then, as he told Timothy, so did he tell the others, go and find faithful men who will be able to teach others also. In other words, everything you've observed in me, replicate that. And put that into others, and then tell them to do the same. To live out the faith once for all delivered to the saints in a way that makes a measurable difference in the world around you. And that's exactly what he did. That was not at all the ministry that Paul was anticipating when he was known as Saul of Tarsus, but it was absolutely the ministry that God was anticipating for Saul of Tarsus when God was knitting him together inside his mother's womb. How many of you are thankful to know that God knows more than we know? And God has plans that go beyond what we can understand. And God is doing a great work. Now, Paul was coming to the end of his ministry, and he was coming to the end of his life. Incidentally, that's when ministry ends, when you are called home to heaven. That's when you're done. Whatever your vocation is, whatever your status is, whatever your, I'll tell you. So we're going to do part two of this message tonight at Vespers. We're not going to finish it. So if you want the last 2 points, come back. But I will tell you this. There was a minister who was a mentor of mine, and he was getting ready to go into assisted living, and he did not want to go into assisted living. How many of you have had that conversation with somebody who did not want to leave the home they had known for so long and go into a place they did not know and get used to that? He didn't want to go. And he went to a different church at this point, and he called the pastor and said, "Pastor, my kids say this is the best for me, and I guess it probably is, but I don't want any part of this, and I don't understand why the Lord would lead me in this direction." And the pastor of that church, his pastor, who is also a dear friend of mine, looked at him and said, "Well, you reckon there's people there?" He said, "Yeah, I know there's people there." He said, "I'm going from the solitude of my home to a place where there's people." And he said, "Well, forgive me if I'm speaking out of turn, but didn't God call you to minister to people?" "Yes." "And maybe as you come to this moment of your life that God is going to put some people around you who really need to hear God's message through you. Do you think that could be the case?" "Well, maybe." And so he went. And once he got there, they asked him if he'd start a Bible study. So he did. And that single Bible study birthed new Bible studies, and it resulted in his finishing his course in a place where he didn't think he wanted to be. But what became for him not only his home, but his final ministry post. Ministry ends when God calls us home. And wherever he leads us, that's where our ministry is supposed to be for such a time as that. Well, I want you to hear, just in the next three verses, we're going to end this morning at verse 8. Come back to Vespers for verses 9 through 22. I want you to hear what Paul writes to Timothy in this, his final chapter. He says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Our second point today, and this will be our final point for today's message this morning. The Apostle Paul followed Jesus to a new reward. The Apostle Paul followed Jesus to a new reward. You know, many times Paul used athletic language. He used it in Corinth. When Paul was in Corinth, there's a good chance that the Isthmian Games were going on. Corinth is on an isthmus. Isthmus. You know what I'm talking about. The Isthmian Games were second in popularity only to the Olympic Games. And so Paul was around a bunch of athletes. And I have a hunch that Paul had a little bit of athletic prowess that at least at some point that he once spoke about. You know, how many of y'all found you get better as an athlete as you age? Not in reality, but in your memory. Has that ever happened? You know, back when I was playing, okay, bless your heart. But he used a lot of athletic language, and he uses that here. "I have fought the good fight." He had said previously, I don't fight as one who's boxing the air, but who understands that what I'm doing matters. He said, "I've finished the race." He had spoken previously about running the race that God had set before him, and that he was to run as one who was competing to win the prize. He said, not the perishable prize that these athletes are working for now. They worked for a crown. It's that little green wreath crown called a Stephanos. That's what they were working for, that little green wreath crown. You know what that little green wreath crown would do? Wilt, perish, fade. And he said, you need to work for a crown that doesn't fade. And what he's saying now to Timothy is, I've fought my fight, and I've run my race, and I, through it all, have kept the faith. How did he keep the faith? Only by the grace of God through Jesus Christ his Lord. As he walked by faith and not by sight, as he endured persecutions and hard moments and kept his eyes fixed on Jesus, he kept the faith through it all. And he knew what was coming for him. He knew that the Lord would welcome him home and he would grant to him the crown of righteousness, a righteousness that Paul had been proclaiming for 3 decades of his life that comes not from works, but rather by faith in Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself up for us. The righteousness of Christ himself imputed to us for our sake. God made him who knew no sin to be sin so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Paul knew the crown of righteousness that awaited him was the very righteousness of Jesus Christ imputed to him by the grace of God. So he knew it was going to be okay. And though his life on this earth was going to come to a violent end, he was going to be all right. Why? Because of Jesus. All because of Jesus. And that was the story of Paul's life. He was going to be all right, all because of Jesus. So the question for us is this: are we going to be all right? Well, if our faith is in Jesus.
Thank you for listening, and we hope you'll join us next time. We'd love to connect with you. Just email connect@firstbaptistbg.org or call 270-842-0331.